Hebrews chapter number 2, Hebrews chapter number 2, we want to read verses 1 through 4, and then concentrate on what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 1 and verse 3. This is an exhortation to listen to God's word more carefully, an exhortation to listen to God's word more carefully. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful for the privilege that you've given us to come back here tonight. God, we desperately need to hear from you again. Thank you for your word this morning, the truth of that, and you're speaking to us through your word this morning. We pray, God, that you would do that again tonight. For if we don't hear from you, we have wasted our time. So please speak to us tonight and open our ears and our eyes and our understanding to these truths. And God, may these things that you say to us tonight, may they find place of value in our hearts and place of doing in our wills. And God, I pray that you would speak to us and help us to see you clearly and magnify you greater. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter number 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. And that's God's word for us tonight, and all God's people said. Amen. The passage, as you notice, begins with the word therefore, which connects it to the previous passage of what has come before. So we have to keep things in proper context. The first chapter of Hebrews is an entire chapter that is a declaration and a celebration of God's final word to the world, His Son, Jesus Christ. He has spoken in times past through the prophets. He has spoken to us in these latter days through His Son, Jesus Christ. The entirety of that first chapter is just declaring and celebrating this final word of God to us in His Son. If we were to summarize chapter 1, we would say chapter 1 tells us that the Son of God is heir of all things, that He made the world. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He made purification for sin. He sat down at the right hand of God's majesty, and He is greater than any angel because the angels worship Him. This Christ is the mighty God. And that's the message of chapter 1. God has spoken to us by His Son, and His Son is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Owner, the Ruler, and the Redeemer of everything in the world. So chapter 1 is a declaration and a celebration of the greatness of Jesus Christ, the final Word of God. Then, the first thing we see in chapter 2 is an obligation, or a duty. We see that truth in the word ought. He says here that, therefore, because of God's final word in and through His Son and all that His Son is, we ought. The word ought there, meaning that it is of necessity to happen, something that we must do. And what the writer of Hebrews is implying is that what he is going to say after that is of utmost importance. So this is something that we need to consider and we need to do, considering the Word of God. So I want to magnify what he says here and try to emphasize in a way that we all will feel the urgency of what the writer is trying to convey here in these verses. Number one, let me speak to those that he addresses here that are distracted. Those that are distracted. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed or attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is because God has spoken by His Son in these last days, and because His Son is creator and sustainer and owner and ruler and redeemer of the world, and because He is above all angels, therefore are we not, as God's children, obligated to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard? Somebody help me. In other words, God has so spoken by His Son, so as God's children, listen. And listen very carefully. It literally means pay close attention, give heed to, follow. Don't just casually hear God's Word. Give God's Word your utmost, undivided attention. This is not a novel. This is not the latest works of Stephen King. This is the Word of God, given to us through His Son. If it doesn't deserve your attention, what does? Word more here. Notice the word more. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest. It means to pay closer attention than what you are currently doing now. Now, if we want to listen to someone, if we truly want to hear what someone has to say, do we not make provisions for hearing them? If we want to hear a musical group, we will buy a ticket and then we will travel and we will go to hear that group. Say amen. If we want to listen to the news, we'll make sure that we have that channel tuned in at the right time on the right channel to hear the news. If we want to listen to our favorite author, we will buy their book and we will make time to read that book. If we want to hear from someone we know and we love, we make arrangements for them to call us or for us to call them and speak to them or read their email or pick their cards and letters up in the mail. What I'm trying to say is that there are preparations made to listen to what we want to hear. We make plans for our listening. We buy things and go places to make sure we're not distracted. And so how does that compare? How does that listening compare to how we listen to God's Word? Do we make preparations to come and give God our attention tonight? Do we make preparations to listen to God? Or do we just casually come and our minds a million different places but here? And we hear words being spoken, but we haven't really given these words the attention they deserve. If we're not careful, we feel that we need to give God's Word close attention, or we don't. if we're not careful, we will feel we don't need to give God's Word close attention because we already know all we need to know. Or we'll say, well, I've already heard all that before. Or we feel that we cannot gain any advantage or any profit from listening to this again. Right? So I really don't have to pay close attention because I've heard it all before. I know basically all the doctrines of the Bible. I've been well versed in all that. So I really don't need to pay close attention. I've heard this verse being preached before, so I've heard it before, or I don't think I can gain from hearing this again. And we just don't give God the proper attention that His Word deserves. But notice what He says here. We ought to. We ought to give the more earnest heed or attention to the things we've already heard. It's not some new thing that you need to hear. It's the things you already heard. It's not some newfangled idea. It's something you've already heard. Say amen. To illustrate that, let me say this. How many Clemson Tiger fans do we have in the audience tonight? Raise up your hand. Clemson Tiger fans. Hold up your hand. Hold it. Keep it up. All right, put them down. Now, how many of you Clemson Tiger fans are just sick to death and sick and tired of hearing that you are the reigning national champions? You're just sick of it, tired of it. I wish they'd never say it again. Have you not heard that over and over and over since the Clemson Tigers beat the Alabama Crimson Tide in the national championship game? Have you not heard the Clemson Tigers are national champions? They're the reigning national champions. They're going back to the ACC championship game. They're reigning national champions. How many of you are saying, I wish they'd just quit saying that. That makes me want to throw up. All non-Clemson Tiger fans. The thing is, you've heard that over and over and over before, right? And you don't mind hearing it again. And in fact, you enjoy hearing it again. You enjoy hearing it every time it's said, although you've heard it before. How come we don't have the same desire towards God's Word? The Christian life is a life that continues listening to God's Word. And we're not to treat these words or these times that we have to hear God's Word casually. It's not just an option that you can do if you're feeling really spiritual or if you have a crisis in front of you or if you need to prepare to teach some lesson. We listen to God's Word. We give God's Word the attention that it deserves, whether we're feeling spiritual or whether we have a crisis to overcome or whether we getting a lesson ready or not, God's Word deserves our attention. And so the concern here for the author of Hebrews is to get these readers to wake up and listen closely to God. Not just casually listen to God, but listen closely to what God says. Because God is not just making speech here. He's not just throwing out stuff. What He says is deep, and we need to listen. Consider the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to Him. Listen to Him again. Focus on Him. Stay close to Him. Keep Him in your thoughts. Learn more and more from Him. Fix your eyes on Him. When you come to church, or if you read your Bibles, how serious do you listen to Him? Do you hear in a casual way? Do you read in a casual way? Or do you give serious attention to what God is saying? And I want to help you tonight. We are not told here that we are to labor for Jesus. We're told here we're to listen to Jesus. Say amen. We are not told we are to work for Him. We're told we are to hear Him. Right? Now, I know it's easier to work for Him. It's easier to labor for Him. It's easier to do something for Him than it is to give His Word the attention that it deserves. Because when you give His Word proper attention, it's going to reveal Him and it's going to reveal you. We'd rather do than hear. You can give me something to do for God, I'd rather do that than show up and listen to preaching. Say amen. We sort of treat the Word of God like we do instructions that we get with some product that we've had to buy and we have to assemble. We lay those instructions to the side and we get right to putting that thing together. And we only reference the instructions and consult the instructions if we run into trouble. Or if at the end, it doesn't quite look like that picture on the box. Say amen. That's how we treat the Word of God. We'll put it to a side and we won't give it attention until we actually need to hear from God. Some trouble comes, some trial comes, and we need to hear from God. Or my life just doesn't look like the picture on the box. So we just don't think it's important to hear God's Word, or much less do we think that we ought to be serious when we hear it, or serious in how we listen. So we'll come to church, and we'll try to do whatever we can so that we can justify doing something instead of sitting here listening to God's Word. It is important that we come to church. It is important that we take more seriously hearing God's Word and doing that which would limit those things that would distract us from it. Say amen. I was thinking of that passage in Hebrews, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." You know, to assemble yourselves together, you're going to have to forsake something. Say amen. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that don't forsake the church. Don't forsake getting together, hearing the Word of God preached and encouraging one another. Forsake that which would distract you from it. And at the core of this thought is this question. At the very core of this thought is this question. Do you in your heart really want to hear and listen and give attention? Do you really? Do we really want to listen to the gospel? Do we really want to hear from Jesus? Because most of the time we can either take it or leave it. But we need to be, according to the writer of Hebrews, we need to be more serious about hearing the Word of God and about following the Word of God. So we come to church. This should not, when we get to this place in the service, this should not be a casual encounter. This should be a serious time in which we are focused and locked in on what God says. Amen? And I could go on for days and I could write a book about what people do while the Word of God is being preached. I've probably told you this before. When I was saved in that Baptist church there in Virginia, there was a lady in that church that while the preacher was preaching, she would clip her fingernails. That drove me out of my mind. Now listen to me. I hadn't been saved long and that bothered me. God's Word's more important than me clipping my fingernails while it's going on. Say amen. How do we feel about God's Word? Where do we hold God's Word? It should be held in a high place. It should be given our full attention. We should be serious when we hear God's Word. I remember preaching to some people. They asked me to come preach at this Jubilee, and the place was filled with a lot of black people. And I got up there and I didn't know how that was going to go. And I got up there and I said, I announced my text, whatever it was, Romans, whatever. I announced the text. And you know what they said? All right, let's go. And I thought, if they're going to get excited at just the reference, it's going to get on tonight. Somebody help me. But should that not be the way we are? When I come out and say Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 4, should we not say, all right, let's go? Somebody help me. Preach us God's word. Preach us what God says. To those that are disinterested, give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Number two, to those who are drifting. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drift. Here's the deal. If we remain distracted from seriously hearing God's word, we will begin drifting. That's what the word slip means. To drift means to slowly and unintentionally drift away from God's truths and God's word. And drifting happens when we make absolutely no effort. You don't have to try to drift. You just don't do anything and you drift. So Christians never ever stay the same. We're either growing and moving forward or we're drifting and falling away. And if we are doing nothing, if we're not going to take serious the Word of God, if we're not going to give more earnest heed to the things which we've already heard, we're already drifting. We don't stay where we are. We're drifting away. Anytime we don't give the Word of God its proper consideration and proper attention, we are drifting away from that Word. And a casual listening to the Word of God does not keep us where we are spiritually. We are simply falling back. And if we don't move more vigilantly, or if we don't vigilantly pay closer attention to the Word of God, we'll simply float on. We'll drift away from God's Word. Taking the Word of God lightly only causes you to more and more take the Word of God lightly. If I take the Word of God lightly tonight, it will be easier for me to take the Word of God lightly Wednesday night. You see what I'm saying? If we do not pay closer attention to God's Word, if we do not see the urgency in this, if we do not focus on Him and fix our eyes on Him, we'll simply drift. The result of casual listening to the Word of God is not staying still where you are. It's drifting away. I want you to see that. When we come to church tonight and we're not tuned in to what God says, we're not going to be where we are. We're going to be drifting farther from where we were. So the Christian life is not a lake. It's a river. And it's flowing downward. And if you do not listen earnestly to the Word and consider Him more and fix your eyes on Him more, you will not stand still. You will drift backward. I have often thought that I need to come in one day and just preach some outlandish heresy, just to see who's listening. I wonder if I preach some outlandish heresy, if on the way out you would say, "Preacher, appreciate the message. Good job." And listen, I've had people walk out of this church and tell me I did a good job preaching, and I didn't even preach, somebody else did. This is God's Word. And because it is God speaking in His Son, we have an obligation to listen to it. And to listen to it more earnestly and more carefully than we have done. And if we don't, we'll drift. We simply need to do nothing to drift from the Word. Number three, to the disinterested. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So salvation is great, right? There's no gift you have on this earth greater than your salvation. No gift greater to man than the salvation that he can have through Jesus Christ. Say amen. It's great. So I want you to notice the progression here. If you don't give better attention to the Word, you will drift from it, and if you keep drifting from it, you will ultimately become negligent or disinterested in it altogether. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Not giving the Word proper attention leads to drifting, and continued drifting leads to neglect and disinterest. And while drifting is unintentional and gradual, neglect is on purpose and specific. Drifting is often unnoticed, but neglect is very noticeable. When a person gets to neglecting salvation or neglecting the Word of God or neglecting Jesus Christ or the gospel, it means that they have fallen in love with other things. They view other things more important. They view other things more valuable. They view other things more pleasurable than the Word of God. And so they go to those things and neglect the hearing of the Word of God. And the writer of Hebrews says, what? There's no escape from that. That's destruction. And there's no escape. So, the mark of a true child of God, the mark of one who is truly saved by the power of God, who's been made alive by the Spirit of God, is someone who does not drift for long. Say amen. If you're a child of God, you don't drift for long. You surely don't drift to neglect. A person that is born again sees his error and has a rising desire in his heart to turn his eyes back on Jesus, to consider Him and to listen to Him in the days and months and years to come. A child of God sees that he has gotten at some distance from the Word of God or lost some space between him and God and now desires to get back to where he was. And one of the signs that you may not be born again is that you hear what the writer of Hebrews says in this passage and you feel no desire to guard yourself against drifting. None. Nothing changes. You might want to consider whether you're truly born again or not. You all are acquainted with those who have come to church and who seem to be interested, but soon they began to drift from the Word. You've seen them, and I've seen them. They start missing a Wednesday night or two here and there, and then pretty soon they're not coming on Wednesday night at all, and then they begin missing on Sunday nights, and Sunday nights become hit and miss, and pretty soon they're not coming on Sunday nights, and then pretty soon Sunday morning becomes hit and miss, and pretty soon they're just not interested in coming and hearing the Word of God at all. It's gradual. At the beginning, it's unintentional. It happens. But if it continues to happen and it gets to the point that they just become disinterested in God's Word fully, they've never been saved. Start slowly and gradual, unintentional. But as they continue to drift, they eventually begin to neglect the Word of God altogether. And you can think of probably a handful of people right now who you know have done the very thing. And that's the way it is, right? Yeah, that song comes to my mind. It's not a Christian song. But it says, you can't make me love you if I don't. Or I can't make you love me if you don't want to. Whatever it is. Listen. You can't be made to love God. And you can't be made to love God's Word if you don't. Say amen. Either you love it or you don't love it. A true believer has been born again and has within him a new nature. And that new nature regards Christ as supremely valuable, more valuable than anything else in the world. And his words, the words of Christ, are extremely important to the child of God. And the Christian life is first and foremost about listening to Jesus. About considering Christ, fixing your eyes upon the heart of Jesus. Everything else in the Christian life grows out of that. And without the Holy Spirit, without this, the Spirit of God driving us to see that Christ is supremely valuable and His words are extremely important, the Christian life is simply unlivable. That's why people that don't have the Holy Spirit driving them to love God and to see Him as supreme and His words are important just can't do it. They can't. Those who drift into neglect they don't increase their attention on the God's Word. They don't increase their involvement in God's Word. They don't put themselves in place. They just neglect it altogether. It doesn't matter. The writer of Hebrews says those people are not saved and there will be no escape for them. That is, they will not escape the judgment of God. They are lost. They will not inherit eternal life. They will perish in hell. So be careful. Your attitude toward the words of God will reveal your heart. You can take it or leave it. You can be casual in your attention toward it. You can do 100 different things while you're sitting there, play with your phone or whatever while the preacher is preaching the Word of God. You can do all those things, but just be careful. Your attitude toward the preaching of the Word of God and the hearing of the Word of God reveals your heart. If you truly believe, listen to me, if you truly believe that Christ is really the Creator of all things and He is the upholder of all things, and He is the heir of all things, and the ruler of all things, and the purifier of all things, and if you truly trust Him as your Savior and as your Lord, how could you not want to pay attention to His Word and consider Him and fix your eyes on Him? How could you not? If He is the treasure that you have found that is worth selling everything that you have, if He is the pearl of great price, how could you not want to give Him your full attention in what He says? That's why I say, your attention to God's Word and your attention to what the writer of Hebrews says in this passage tonight reveals your heart, reveals what you truly believe about Christ. Because if I just simply give God casual listening, you know what I'm saying? God's a casual God. He's not really important. What he says is not really important. What he does is not really important. No. He is vitally important. He is God. And what God says, we should want to hear. And we should set times and make preparations to hear him. And when we don't, we're drifting, we're drifting, we're drifting, and before you know it, you will drift into destruction. Say amen. Let's stand.